Stop. Stop. Will you stop, Dave? Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid. Stop, Dave. I'm afraid.
Oh, here we are. It's Saturday night, and it's time for the Fair Tax Show. We've had a good time here the last 3 or 4 weeks. We've talked a lot about just laying the groundwork now for introduction of the Fair Tax. Again, this is the educational portion of the series. We're going to work our way through why we need to do something, what the current tax structure in this country is costing us individually and as a nation. And then we will actually lay the groundwork, and we're going to get started on that a little bit tonight, on actually what the fair tax is. And it will get very, very interesting from this point forward. If you've been a little bored by the history lessons of the last 3 weeks, just stay with us. Stay with us. They were necessary to lay the groundwork for why this tax is necessary, this fair tax, and why all of the alternatives that we've heard to this point are unacceptable. In that they suffer from all, usually, or a great many of the same evils that plague the current system. We started by going through exactly how much tax you actually pay. You know, if you, we gave an example of, you know, if you walk up to one of your friends and say, "How much money do you make a week?" The answer is almost always going to be, "Well, I bring home," or "I make," and then they'll give you a number of what they bring home. And we backed that up in week two with why it's like that. And that is the secret of withholding. The key to the government's ability to continue to hide from you the amount of direct income tax that they are taking from you is wrapped up in this withholding thing. If you want to get involved tonight, it's 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. You can go to Blog Talk Radio, click on the links that you've been provided. You can go to Blog Talk Radio and get into the chat. You can email us at Dave at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org with your comments. You can what's that tweet or Twitter thing? You can tweet or Twitter us at Missouri Grassroots. And if you have any comments, you can shoot them in there. We'd love to have you give us a call, 347-677-1835, 677-1835, and just get involved in the show. Then we went on to discuss last week how, in addition to the taxes that they take out of your pay and they keep, and they use withholding to make you think that on in April and May they're actually giving you money when they're continuing to hold most of what you sent in there and giving you a pittance of your money back. So we went on the next week to talk about additional taxes that you pay. 22% of everything that you buy is federal tax. Because we went through a long, lengthy explanation as to how it is that corporations don't pay any taxes. They are just tax collectors for the government. Only individuals, you and me, pay taxes. That in everything you buy, 22% of the cost of that, and that's rounded off, it's as high as 27 for some items. It's as low as like 20 for other items. If I'm remembering correctly from the text, leather goods are the least, hovering down around 19 or 20% of the embedded cost. And then you get up into services, which is the highest at like 25% of the cost, is actually taxes passed on to you in the price of the product or service. Taxes that are charged to the corporation or provider of the service, and not just the corporation that made the car or the candy bar or the or to the doctor himself, but everything added in along the way. There's, you know, a loaf of bread. There's a tax on the farmer that raised the grain. There's a tax on the guy that sold the farmer the seed. There's a tax on the truck that picked up the grain and sent it. There's a tax on the guy that sold the farmer the tractor. That was passed on to the farmer, then passed on to you. There's a tax on the bakery. There's a tax on the people who make the wrapper that goes around the bread. And every one of those employers along the way, in addition to paying a corporate tax that they pass directly on to you, they paid an 8% tax for every employee they've got, Social Security. And they pass that on to you. So add that all together, and 22% of everything you buy is taxed. So sit down and figure out, we challenge you to sit down and figure out what the government holds out of your paycheck that they don't send back to you. Add your Social Security tax, because you never get that back, and your Medicaid tax. And then add on 22% of everything you spent last year. That's tax as well. Now, there's even more that we talked about last week. The cost that companies and the general economy bears for complying with the tax code. There is software, there is accountants, there is lawyers, there are business decisions that are made that cost you and me and the United States economy money, that are made, poor business decisions, that are made simply because of the tax consequences. And then there is the money that you should have in your pocket till the end of the year, when it's really time for you to pay taxes, that you should have collected interest on, about $500 million a year in interest. If you kept your money till the end of the year and put it in the safest, lowest interest bearing account, and everyone did that, $500 million a year just in interest. All of these costs added together, figure out that you are paying the federal government. Forget your state and your city sales taxes. You are paying the federal government between 35 and 40%. If you are a middle-class American, I'm not talking about a millionaire or billionaire. If you are a middle-class American going to work for $10 to $15 an hour, you are paying the federal government between 30 and 45% of everything you make. That's the taxes they withhold. That's your Social Security tax. That's the embedded taxes in everything you buy. That is the cost of compliance that's passed on to you. You are paying all of that because of our current tax code. In addition to that, there is the corruption embedded in our tax code. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours thing. The GE gives the Obama reelection campaign, XYZ dollars, and GE pays no tax kind of thing that goes on. There is the lobbying that goes on. Now, these kinds of things, the lobbying, the corruption, they don't directly, we haven't tried to figure them directly into your tax bill, but they are sucking enormous amounts of money out of the United States economy. Well, tonight we're going to talk about another onerous cost to the U.S. economy of the current tax code. Another onerous cost that doesn't go away regardless of whether you use a flat tax, whether you use a three or two tiered tax, whether you, as one of my best friends points out to me, reduce all taxes to zero on everyone making under XYZ dollars a year and sock it to everybody else. Because the evil of the current system is that it taxes productivity. It taxes income. It taxes success. It taxes growth. What we propose does none of those things. And we're going to get into that right after we have a short break.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
They told me that you had gone totally insane, and that your methods were unsound.
Are my methods unsound?
I don't see any method at all.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to get right into this tonight. Is it any wonder, have you ever wondered why so many U.S. companies are going away? Let's think about that for a minute. Does any modern American company in this state, let's not even take this state, the state of Missouri. Let's take, does any company in their right mind in the state of Texas want to relocate to the state of California? Does any right-minded company in California want to relocate to the state of Texas? We have the second highest this year corporate income tax in the world. Now, not only is our corporate income tax ridiculously high, and that shows up in the cost of everything you buy, but unless you are GE, or unless you are Merck drug company, then all of this corruption that goes on against you. It goes on in the favor of your competitor. And all of this is tax corruption. You get a tax break for this. I mean, it is part of the tax code itself that General Electric doesn't pay any taxes. And they pay about a quarter of what they should be paying in taxes for lobbyists to go to Washington, D.C. and buy your congressman and buy your administrative branch and buy a whole bucket load of unnamed bureaucrats to write tax code that favors them at the expense of everyone else. That is why if you have a small business in this country, or a medium business, or a large business, you think seriously about taking it somewhere else. You would be a foolish business. It's not, you know, the idiots on the left, the socialists say, well, that's unpatriotic. Well, bullshit. Well, bullshit. It's not unpatriotic. It is the only smart way to do business, for you to get away from a hostile business environment and find yourself a more friendly place to do business. And take all those jobs. And take all that money. And take all that capital, all that growth. That's not unpatriotic. It's just smart business. Now, when a company goes overseas, they take with them all of the investment that it takes to run their, you know, they buy their wood or their metal or their steel or their, they buy that overseas. They buy their fabric overseas. They buy their labor overseas. They put their money in the bank overseas. That's money that should be in this country. It is untold trillions of dollars a year. Trillions of dollars a year that should be circulating around the American economy that is fleeing this country for no other reason than we have a corrupt and onerous tax code that costs trillions of dollars a year to comply with. That's money out the window for these people. And it's money out the window for you and for me. Now, what if corporations, what if small businesses, what if service providers were allowed to operate in this country with no tax at all? What if they were allowed to make a profit, pay salaries, buy things to make stuff with, ship stuff all over the world, make as much profit as they possibly could, and pay no tax on that at all. How in the world would that help the economy? I mean, good grief, we rely an awful lot on those corporate taxes, don't we? I mean, wouldn't we have to cut food stamps an awful lot to make that happen? Well, think about this for a moment. What's holding down wages? The cost of doing business. You know, these corporate people, they're not greedy. Not all of them, not most of them, not 99% of them. It's not just greed that holds down wages. It's the fact that for every dollar they pay in wages and salary, costs them $1.65. We're talking Social Security tax. We're talking payroll compliance. We're talking tax compliance. We're talking regulation. Accountants. Lawyers. Workman's comp. Unemployment insurance. We're talking all those things that it costs someone to pay you, other than the direct payment to you. Now, if those costs went away, you can and should expect that wages in the United States would go up. Certainly, there would be more people. Let's just hold wages steady. Let's just say that you go to work for 40 hours a week for $10 an hour now, and you bring home $325, and that day after tomorrow you go to work for 40 hours a week for $10 an hour, and you bring home $400. You didn't get a raise at all. They just quit taking out federal income tax and Social Security tax. So you bring home $400. You didn't get a raise, but a lot more people are going to be employed. That is a fact. That is a fact. Let's take this thing Let's simplify this a little bit. Let's take this to the personal level, okay? And then we'll blow it back up out to businesses again, because there is a direct correlation between how a person thinks about taxes and how a company that is run by a person thinks about taxes, about how people think about taxes, and wealth and protection of assets, and how a company thinks about those things. The IRS reports that 140 million taxpayers filed returns. There were 140 million tax returns filed. 140 million. Now, 1% of that is 1.4 million people. The top, this is IRS data. Google this at IRS collection data. This is IRS data. That top 1% paid $1.03 trillion. 1.4 million taxpayers paid almost 40% of all collected individual federal income tax. 1%. You want to be in the 99%? Be in the 99%. Because 1% of the people paid 40% of all the collected individual taxes. those taxpayers earned 20% of all the earned taxable income in this country. 20%. They earned 20% of all the taxable income. They paid 40% of all the taxes. Now, I want you to tell me what went wrong in Detroit. What went wrong in Detroit? Why is Detroit bankrupt? The wealthy taxpayers left the city. Do you know Detroit has an income tax, a city income tax? The wealthy people left the city. I mean, that's a well-documented fact. The wealth left the city. The tax base evaporated. The city had all these services to pay for. It was the people left in the city are 40% below the poverty level, another 20% right at or slightly above the poverty level, and nobody is paying the bills anymore. Blow that up a little bit. What's happening now in the state of California? Same thing. The wealthy are leaving. The state has all of these services that they have to pay for. They have all of these below poverty level, non-tax paying recipients of services, and they have no one left to pay the bill. What's happening in the United States of America, to blow that up one step further? Each year, about 800,000 millionaires leave the United States of America. Every year there are 800,000 millionaires or above, millionaires and billionaires, as our leader likes to say, who flee the United States of America with their wealth. Now, let's just dumb this down a bit. If those 800,000 people each take with them, now remember, they're millionaires and billionaires, each take with them when they leave the country $500,000, half a million. They can leave the rest, or they can liquidate. If each of them only takes $500,000, this country loses $325 trillion of wealth per year. Wealth that should be invested in American banks, in American businesses, wealth that should be paying American workers, buying American insurance, buying American goods and services. Money that should be used to buy Learjets and Rolls Royces and Bentleys from American car dealers. Money that should be used to buy million-dollar weddings for some rich man's daughter. Money that should be circulating through my pocket and your pocket. Okay. The same principle, which is clearly easy to see, easy to grasp, easy to visualize, applies to companies. There was a study of 100 foreign companies. And the question was, what will you do when the United States eliminates corporate income tax eliminates individual income tax and adopts a consumption tax. 6 out of 10 of the CEOs of those companies said that they would build a facility in the United States, said that the next facility they built would be in the United States. And of that 60%, half said they would relocate their operations to the United States. Now, we're not even talking anymore about bringing these trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of American dollars that have fled back home where it belongs. We're talking about new money. We're talking now about new jobs. We're talking now about new companies. We're talking now about new wealth. We're talking now about new explosive growth in the United States economy. And that's how we get back to answering that question of about 15 minutes ago. That was a long story long. We can eliminate the corporate income tax because we are so explosively growing the tax base. The number of people paying tax, earning money, and buying stuff increases 3-4-fold. The number of people being productive increases because being productive is rewarded, not penalized. Being a productive member of the United States is something that gets rewarded. You can save money tax-free. You can keep money tax-free. You can smell money tax-free. You can carry money around in your wallet tax-free. You can earn all the money you want. You can work as many hours as you want tax-free. You decide when to pay taxes, and you will decide to pay taxes. You're bringing home bringing home 20 to 25% more money than you were bringing home when the government was holding money out of your paycheck. You're grossing at the end of the year the same thing you are netting at the end of the year. If you work for a salary of $48,000 at the end of the year, $48,000 has passed through your pocket. You will want to spend money. You will never have had it so good. Your standard of living will increase. The cost of goods and services will decrease at least the 22%. And I mean, that's studied. That is well studied, the 22%. But likely phenomenally more. As the cost of complying with the tax code goes away, as the cost of hiring people goes away, as the cost of doing business in general goes away, along with this 22% tax that gets passed on to you, as all these other costs that get passed on to you go away, voila. Isn't capitalism great? So we've got American businesses coming back home. And believe me, there are, here's two things that businesses look for that make them want to do business in the United States of America. Infrastructure. China has nowhere near the infrastructure. Brazil has not got anywhere near the infrastructure we've got. Singapore hasn't got anywhere near the infrastructure we've got. No Latin American country, no Asian country can provide raw materials, transportation routes, goods. And the other reason is for a productive labor force. No country can match the United States worker in productivity and quality. Employers want that. Businesses want that. Apple doesn't want to be building that shit overseas. You know, the great liberal Bill Gates, he doesn't want to be building those things overseas. He would rather be building them in the United States. But he's a smart businessman. He's certainly not unpatriotic, is he, my socialist friend? He wants to build those things in the United States of America, where the infrastructure exists, where the silicone exists, where the workforce exists. It just doesn't pay. And we could make it pay. We don't even have to make it pay. The government shouldn't make it pay. We can let it pay. Just let it be. Not only will all these trillions and trillions and trillions of American dollars that have been fleeing come home, but new dollars will come. New companies will come. America will suddenly be the place to do business. You can make a profit here and not pay tax on the profit. Hell! Come here, hire people, build stuff, sell stuff. We challenge you to build it bigger, build it better. Here, where the labor is. Here, where the infrastructure is. Here, where the clean water is. Here, where the fresh air is. Here, where the good highways and the good transportation is. Bring it on. No corporate tax, which really is not a corporate tax. It's a tax on you and me. So no more of that tax on you and me being collected by the tax collectors that call themselves corporations. It really is that simple. I mean, people try to make this so complex. People try to make it complex so they can raise phony arguments about this. The fact of the matter is, it really, really, really is that simple. And how do we get there? Well, Americans want this. Clearly. Americans want the IRS gone. Clearly. So how do we make that happen? More on that in just a minute. I've got a feeling that the tide is turning.
Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@missourigrassrootscoalition.org for details. Never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Can you talk if you haven't got a brain?
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And when they do, they say things like, well, there's nothing fair about the fair tax. Oh, the supposed fair tax. When what they've done is they've predefined the word fair into, oh, this feels good to me. It feels good to me that he pays and I don't. It feels good to me that that rich scoundrel is paying, you know, more than his fair share. It feels good to me that poor people don't have to pay any taxes. It feels good to me that the richer you are, the more you pay. Well, that might feel good to you, but it ain't fair. It ain't fair that someone who went out and spent their life building something and sacrificed and, yes, sometimes got lucky. It isn't fair that now, because of that success, they have to pay a dime in percentage more than you. That isn't fair. So in the fair tax, everyone is treated equally. It's fair, hence the name. There's nothing unfair about it. Come back with your, oh, the poor people have to pay for tax on their food, And I say the rich people do too. That's fair. Oh, the poor people have to pay a tax for this or have to pay a tax for that. Well, the rich people do too. That's fair. In fact, the rich people have to pay for it exactly the same as the poor person. Now, before we get into how the fair tax works, and we're just going to brush on it and lay the groundwork this week, here is an argument you're going to hear that you have to nip in the bud as soon as you hear it. And that is, well, the government already gets too much from me. I don't need another tax. This is not another tax. This is not a new tax. It is a replacement of the current income tax system. You pay no more income tax. You pay no more. You wake up one morning and you don't pay any income tax. You don't pay any Social Security tax. You don't pay any inheritance tax. You don't pay any capital gains tax. You wake up, and if you sell your house for $160,000 more than you paid for it, you keep $160,000. You wake up one morning, and your dad's passed away, and he's left you $4.5 million. You keep $4.5 million. You get up in the morning, 5 days a week. You go to work 12 hours a day, 5 days a week, 60 hours a week. You get $10 an hour. You bring home $600. That's not that hard. I mean, that is so easy. It is so easy to understand that people who want to oppose you when you bring this up have to make shit up. It's that simple. It is so simple that they have to try to make it sound complicated so they can make a case against it. They have to manufacture complications in this simple, simple system. You go to work for 40 hours a week for $10 an hour. You bring home $400. You buy stuff, you pay some tax. You save stuff, you don't pay no tax. You invest, you don't pay tax. You do the things that make America strong, you pay no tax. You buy things, you pay some tax. You buy new things. And this is it. The calculated tax rate is 23%. That is, you spend $10 at the store, $2.30 of that is the tax. When you bring home your receipt from the store, it tells you how much tax you paid. There's no hidden taxes. There's no withholding. There's no, I don't know how much tax I paid. You know every time you walk out the door how much tax you pay, 23%. Now, 23% was arrived at because it's revenue neutral. And this is another thing that's important to remember as we go through the discussion here in coming weeks. This is not a spending bill. The fair tax has nothing to do with spending. Yes, spending needs to be brought under control. Yes, spending is quadruply out of hand. Yes, we need to cut spending. We need to cut the Department of Education. We need to cut the Department of Housing and Urban Development. We need to cut the national parks. We need to cut food stamps. We need to cut the Farm Bill out completely. We need to cut these things that are unconstitutional and that are costing us tens of trillions of dollars. But that's a different argument. When we cut those things, we'll cut the 23%. The fair tax at 23% is revenue neutral. That means the federal government at 23% will bring in exactly as much as it did last year at 23%, with no corporate tax, 23% consumption tax paid by end consumers, you and me buying retail products and services, 23% is revenue neutral. How in the world is that? Well, we've talked about one way. We've talked about the fact that more people are making money. Companies are screaming to the United States. New factories are opening. New things are being made. America is once again the country of innovation because it now pays to make stuff. It now pays to invent stuff. It now pays money to take the risk, pays money to risk it all and succeed. But listen to this. Who else is paying 23%? Who didn't pay any taxes last year? Every tourist that passes through your town from England and France and Spain is paying sales tax on everything they buy. Every drug lord, every prostitute, every pimp, every car thief is paying 23% tax every time they buy something. Those people aren't paying. Every bricklayer who works under the table, every waitress who gets three times in tips what she makes in hourly wage and doesn't pay any tax on it. Everyone who pays money under the table to avoid all of the compliance costs and all of the litigations and all of the Social Security taxes that go into hiring a person, everyone who gets paid under the table buys things with that money. And so that's how 23% gets to be revenue neutral. We're going to stop right there for tonight because it's a good stopping point. Next week, we're going to actually get into the nuts and bolts of the fair tax. We're going to talk about the things that we're going to talk about the one thing, and we're probably going to take the entire period to talk about a thing called the prebate because it's the most misunderstood part of the fair tax, but it is the part that makes it fair. It is the part that makes the fair tax work. And it's as simple to understand as anything else we've talked about. But it's time to bring these companies home. It's time to make it more profitable to stay here than to go. It's time to make it more profitable to come home and take advantage of everything that America has to offer than it is to flee. These people don't want to leave their home. They don't want to leave the United States. They have to. It's time to fix that, and it's time to fix it with the fair tax. I'll be back Monday night with the Hour of Truth. We're going to be talking a bit about the upcoming veto session, some of the biggies coming up in the upcoming veto session. We're going to have a couple of guests. We're going to be talking a little bit with Mike Evans. I don't know if you've heard of Mike, but he's going to be picking up a Thursday night show on Missouri Grassroots Radio, and you'll really, really, really enjoy Mike Evans. Tuesday night, Cynthia Davis comes along with Homefront. Wednesday night, Lisa Payne Nager with the Culture Vigilante. Beginning the first of next month on Thursday nights, Mike Evans. I'll be back on Saturday to talk about how we actually build the fair tax. MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Click on the Secret Santa button. Use PayPal. Send us a couple of bucks, please. Thanks. Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.